What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
Bro was waiting for Matt.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Whoopsie. True. I actually got super mixed. All right. No Has right now. He might join in a little later on, but nonetheless, it is another episode of Tweak Talks. How you guys doing? Of course, wait, before we even start, just a quick show. If you guys are enjoying the content, we do bonus content. You can check us out on Patreon and as well as a YouTube member. So YouTube members also get access to the Patreon content. Gavin's been uploading the newer ones and has somewhat of a backlog kind of going in and out of there as well. So I know there's a couple of cool ones that I actually wanted to ask Gavin to put on, like the trophy case video on Patreon's pretty cool. And some of the more like interesting ones that aren't just bonus episodes and stuff like that. So yeah. Speaking of all the different bonus episodes, I know we had a lot of tournaments right this weekend. So we had KawaiiCon, which was I was at, so I didn't get to watch too much of the other tournaments, but I know CT GamerCon was going on. I know Luis won a tournament as well, so there's a bunch of other tournaments.
The one Luis won, do you remember, Marcus?
No, it wasn't Eugene Bound 3.
Yes, that's it.
Nice. And then there's probably some tournaments in Japan as well. But KawaiiCon was really cool because we blew out some Japanese players. So, and Lima was out there as well. Yeah. Mr. E. So we definitely had some out-of-state players. I know Gavin usually comes out, but wasn't able to make it this year. But hopefully it's for a good cause. Hopefully Gavin gets the Kagari because that tournament is looking crazy. But
I'm fully prepared for Battle of BC coming up at the end of the month. I'm fully prepared for Level Up coming up at the end of April, and I'm fully prepared to leave from Level Up to Japan. So I'm all good. I'm all good for like pretty much everything. Let's go.
Yeah. All right, before we get into all the Smash stuff, how you doing, Pink? How's life? How's the week?
It was great, man.
Well, you weren't here last week, so a couple weeks.
Yeah. PBE just dropped on TFT. You already know.
Oh, snap.
So set 14 is out. That's exciting. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 99% sure, unless like life gets in the way, that I'm just going to push for Challenger this season. I normally don't. I normally just hit Masters and stop, but I really want to do it. And it's cool because I know a few players like Max and Ralphie who like came for Smash. I know that they hit Challenger. So
Smash players are too good at things.
Yep.
Max has like a giga big brain, dude. Whenever he talks about like Pokemon, I'm like, holy smokes, this dude's smart.
Yeah. So it's exciting. Who knows? Maybe like it'll be like a Smash player TFT takeover.
That's lit. Mm-hmm.
Hey, and you started. You played Monster Hunter, first Monster Hunter.
It has been that long. Yeah,
I am taking over, and we're having at least small Monster Hunter segment. I am saying.
First Monster Hunter. I've been having a blast. Wilds was really fun. I kind of like burned through it, so now I don't have anything to do, but. Yeah, once the DLC drops, I'm back.
What about you, Gavin? How's your week? You got to not travel, so that's always a big dub, right?
Yeah. I've been busy. V started a new job, which is cool. She started yesterday. She's actually working right now. So I've been on more like cat diabetes duty for like the shots and the blood work, and I actually am getting a lot better at it. I did it today, and I think I did
poor
a good
tiny
job.
No.
it's nerve-wracking because it's like someone you love, and I'm just scared to like, it's like scary, like the idea of like putting a needle in them and all that, like, but I think I'm getting a lot better at it. And she's good, like she knows, like, okay, after this I get to eat, blah blah blah, like she knows the drill. She like wants to get away, but she's pretty chill. I've been practicing. I'm just a lot less stressed because all of the travel is planned out leading up to like May. Being ahead of it. I don't like doing it one tournament at a time. I like being at least like two tournaments ahead of schedule.
I mean, ideally, you want to be probably 2 to 3 months ahead of schedule.
Exactly.
Hotels,
but most of the time,
know, esports.
Most of the time, it's only one tournament at a time, and I just hate that. Like Genesis, I was like praying I had like a bunch of stuff ahead of time, but it was only Genesis that I really had. But yeah, not much else to say. I tried Monster Hunter, and I don't like it.
I can't, dude. This guy. Okay. I will have specific questions for that. But yeah, you know what's crazy? I'm lagging out. Okay, I'm back. Okay. So you know what's crazy? When it comes to just needles and stuff like that, since I was a medic at such like right after high school, essentially, I was doing that stuff like 18, 19. Like to me, I'm like, oh, whatever. If I had to take someone's blood or but I understand not a lot of
that's
people
true.
Have
that. True. I could trust you with my cat.
Yeah, I could do that. I could hook you up with an IV, bro, real quick.
It sounds silly, but like it's difficult. Like we've had to maybe look into like a sitter or something. It's usually not possible. Because if you mess up, it could be really bad. Like if you put it like in their muscle or something, like the insulin. Like so not only do you have to think they can do it, you also have to think they can do it well and keep an eye on them. It's like a lot.
Well, the cat itself has to also trust the person doing it. So, like, even if
she's not nice, like,
exactly. I mean, I would assume they have the most amount of trust in you and B. So,
exactly.
Anyone else, even if I were to do it, I would take it extremely slow because I need to have the understanding. Me and the cat have to have the understanding of like, all right, we both trust each other here. Like, let's do this.
My sister was like a vet tech. And like worked at like the vet we go to most of the time. Mm-hmm. So like there's that, but she's obviously living her own life and that's like she's super busy, like she just got married, all that stuff. So like that's like the reason why B doesn't get to travel with me pretty much at all anymore is because she's always home doing it. So I'm trying to be as helpful as I can when I'm home and I'm like really learning the process. Plus, it's just good for both of us to know how to do it. So, but I'm so much worse. B is like so efficient at it. Like, I feel like Tiny kind of knows too that I'm not as comfortable, and she like pushes my buttons and like tests. Like, she wants to get out a little more. She's like more like antsy. Like, I can tell she's like she knows like I'm not about it, bro. But when B like does the blood work and everything, Tiny just deals with it.
She but can sense the confidence level. She's like,
yeah,
oh, I don't know, man. He's not looking confident. Wait a minute.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I've been keeping an eye on her today.
Sounds like you're getting better at it too, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. So that's
it kind of feels good once like you're good at it. It's like a new skill unlocked.
Yeah. A skill you never thought you would need.
But yeah, I didn't like Monster Hunter, bro.
Okay, I mean, we can jump straight into Monster. I'm down. Bro, all right, so why? Okay. So let's.
Like, what happened?
Let's lay down the context. Let's lay down the context for the listeners. Okay, so I've been playing. I'm a Monster Hunter veteran. I've been playing, and I'm very old. I am an old human being. So my first Monster Hunter was Monster Hunter Freedom 2. Freedom 2 was my first Monster Hunter, and then Unite came out, and that's my favorite Monster Hunter game. It's definitely not the best one. It's just like that's my nostalgic pick. For me, I think the best Monster Hunter is Wilds. I think the most current Monster Hunter is always the best one. They just always make really great quality of life changes. And I could see some if you really liked Wirebugs and Rise, you like Rise more than Wilds. I understand that because the movement was OD in that game. So I mean, if you super like movement, then I think you would probably like Rise more. I think Wilds plays more towards a classic Monster Hunter playstyle because I think Wirebugs were just it gave so much mobility. It the feeling of the game is very different, but I still thought it was fun. And then for you guys, Wilds is both your guys' first experience with Monster Hunter, right? So I think that's really important. So I guess first impressions, we'll start with you, Gavin. What was your first impression of the game like? And yeah, go from there.
I could tell it was something like that people were going to like and stuff like Monster Hunter fans, but it's just so overwhelming for me. And like, I just think I'm old, like in the sense of like,
what?
There's just too much going on. And like, I don't like the movement.
Too much going on. This guy's like doing banana tech, one frame, two frame windows. All right. Okay. So there's too
but
much
it's like
going
one
on.
Thing. Like in Monster Hunter, it's like the UI. okay, this is gonna, if this joke doesn't land, I'm gonna look like an idiot, but do you guys know that meme video where it's like outside of Peach's Castle and it's like the UI of every video game ever?
Huh?
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that. Yes.
That's what that game felt like to me. Like, it was just like,
I mean, there are a quite a bit of items, and I mean, there, like, there's a lot of moves too. I will say the older Monster Hunter was really simple in a sense where you kind of just did one thing.
Like, I didn't care about the dialogue. I was skipping everything. I don't like the way the game moves. It kind of reminds me of why I don't like the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I just don't like the clunky, like, I know it's part of the charm. Like, once you get control of it or something, it like feels way like you feel like a Chad, but I didn't like it. I mean,
you might have liked Rise more, because Rise, instead of dodge rolling as your main mobility option, it's you have things like wire bugs, which gave you huge buffs of mobility. So if you feel like the movement's clunky, you might have liked Rise a little bit more. But I wonder, do you just not like Soul games, like Souls games, where you like kind of dodge, like attack?
It was kind of my first monsters
lagging, dodge roll away.
I don't think I've ever gotten a chance to experience it other than that, so I don't know. Like, I feel bad because like my friends, like, I don't want to dunk on the game, and I love having things to play with my friends, but I just couldn't do it. So I'm just back on my single player stuff. I finished a bunch of games recently, like Skyward Sword, Final Fantasy VI. I finished Spyro 1, Wario Land 4. I just started my first ever Mega Man game. I started Mega Man X. And I just enjoy doing that a bit more. We did start playing Unite again, like me, Haz, and Charles.
Unite has been a fun grind.
I did see that.
And you got to let the viewers know, even though you didn't enjoy the game, what weapon did you gravitate towards?
I picked the coolest weapon.
Okay, of course. What was that?
Insect Glaive.
Spitting!
You use Insect Glaive?
Yeah.
Let's go! You're the first person
I've seen about. Pink play a lot of different weapons.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think it's funny. I played
70 hours in like a week, so
it's insane. Gavin and Pink had two opposite experiences.
Yeah.
I locked in. I
sat down. Well, okay, so it all started with Grand Blue Fantasy, whatever, Relink. And I played that game when it came out, and I played a lot of that game. Like, I was grinding it super hard. Same thing with Monster Hunter. Got to the end game, and then I was like, bro, there's nothing to do. But then, like, DLC was coming out, so I kept going back until they stopped making content for the game. And I was like, you know what? The next Monster Hunter that comes out, I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to see what happens. And it was Wilds, and I was like, all right. I told myself I'm going to commit to it, so I'm going to commit to it. So I bought it, and I did my first hunt, and I was like, this run kind of sucked. I was like, I don't like this because I can't move. Like,
dude.
But then I was like, I'm going to stick it out because there's got to be – with games like that, it's like the end game is normally what you're looking forward to. So I was like, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to get to the end game. That story was brutal. Like, a brutal. But once we got there, I was like
– skip.
Okay. Now I get it. Like, these – when I first fought, I think the first, like, dragon you fight, I was like, Monster Hunter.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil it, but I was like, this fight is sick. Like, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that game is very, very fun.
That character Smash trailer going to go foolish.
Huh?
Dude, if Monster Hunter gets in Smash, I am like auto maining that character. It's like one of my favorite game series is Monster Hunter. It's so sick.
It's going to be in Smash. Y'all are crazy if you don't think so.
I mean, it did make it into one game that didn't have a lot of success. Rest in peace, Monster Hunter in Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. I bet there's probably so many people that know about that game that didn't know that Monster Hunter was DLC.
Yeah.
The design was pretty cool. I remember one of the supers was like a large barrel bomb plus. It was pretty cool. But, and I've been a Monster Hunter fan for a long time. I almost played Frontier, which was like this MMO version of Monster Hunter that you could only play if you had the Japanese internet or something like that. It was pretty crazy. Oh, this is the infinite footage. Yeah, Monster Hunter in a fighting game, dude. That's so sick. And like using all the different weapons, like dual blade there, like it, they did it, visually it looked pretty cool in Infinite. Well, obviously the game, a lot of people like the game, but I've played probably like about 80% of the Monster Hunter games total. So I've played quite a bit of the Monster Hunter games. This game I really liked. So I usually play range or dual sword and board. I've played some great swords. So I dabble with some of the melee weapons, but I generally play, I rotate between like heavy bowgun, light bowgun, bow. Obviously in world, bow is like super broken, giga broken, along with slicing shot. So I played that during that time. But this game, I wanted to try something other than heavy bowgun and light bowgun, but the quality of life changes were so good that I couldn't help myself. But like the weapons that I like were just so much more fun because of the quality of life changes. So yeah, I think this game, especially for like the range weapons, the quality of life changes were insane. All my friends that play melee say the same thing about the quality of life changes there and like the additional options. I think the only thing that I didn't like about the game was the online hub. It just, bro, it felt really, I was like, this is weird that I've played almost every single Monster Hunter game and I am struggling right now to play with my friends. Like all I want to do is hunt monsters with my friends. That's Monster Hunter to me. I just hunt monsters with my friends. I don't give a fuck about the story. Like I don't care. I just want to hunt monsters with my friends. I skipped every single cinematic and then you can't skip like the walking ones, man. I was like, oh my God, like here's another escort quest. Like walk around. Okay. Like that was the only downtime I didn't like about the game. I like that you could at least skip the other stuff, but you couldn't skip those parts, like the escort quest where you just walk at a set speed and it's kind of like a cinematic, but they're just talking and I don't really care and I just want to hunt monsters with my friends. So the fact that they don't have like a gathering hub is really weird. The online system I'm not a fan of and the story I wasn't a fan of, but the actual hunting itself, amazing. So many quality of life things. Like, for example, recovery shots for bow gunners used to literally heal the opposing monster if you hit them with it. So that's horrible because you can grief your team and heal the monster, which is a troll. But now you shoot the recovery shot, it shoots a pool on the ground that your teammates can run over. Because before you would actually have to hit your teammates too and not hit the monster. Like you could do it, but it was pretty hard and pretty situational. Now you can kind of, and they did the same thing with buffs. I think with Hunting Horn, they revamped it so it like drops area of effects that can buff you or your teammate. So they're like across a lot of weapons. I don't know about every single weapon quality of life change, but there's just so many good ones for like the weapons that I've seen, or even just kind of like support classes, which I like to gear towards. Like even when I play MMOs, I like to play healers and stuff like that. So just even some of the support class options, like the Hunting Horn and stuff like that. There's so many great changes to the game. And I mean, all the end game fights were super fun. I think the flagship monster is really sick. I like how they simplified the armor system for skill points and stuff. It used to be way more complicated. So now it's like they simplified a lot of things that didn't need to be as complicated. So, and I mean, a lot of that started in world regardless, but I think they have continued doing that since world with every release and they've nailed it every single time. So it is very impressive, at least for me, because I've seen so many other franchises or IPs that I've really enjoyed when I was younger, like when I was in my high school times, and then the quality of their games nowadays. I'm not going to like list all of them because it's a long list, but yeah, they're just not as great. So to see Monster Hunter still continue to like have really go in the direction I like in terms of quality of life, the general game direction, and the game is picking up popularity too. Like I was very surprised to hear how much people were playing Wilds, which to me, I think it's very amazing that Capcom is able to be like, okay, we can still retain our old audience, right? But we can make the game simpler. But there's still the complex stuff that we like that we leave for the old hunters. And I don't even think the game, I know people complain about it being easy. I don't think the game is that much easier than the older Monster Hunters. And like, let's be real, the older Monster Hunters were hard for dumb reasons. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do understand the concept of being an old school player and being like, oh, yo, this stuff is super easy now. What the hell? But it's like, well, what did you enjoy hitting something for 40 minutes and being like sweating it and being like, oh man, I don't know if I can kill this thing because I'm gathering seeds to craft shots. Like, dude, just give me infinite piercing, normal, and scatter shots. Like, let me just play the game. You know what I mean? Like hunting shouldn't be about like, oh, I'm running out of ammo and I brought stuff to craft more. And then I'm also picking berries out here so I can make more ammo. Like, that's not what it's about. Like hitting something for 50 minutes. It shouldn't be about that. Right. It should just be memorizing the patterns of the monster, optimizing certain damage windows, and yada yada yada. So like, I think they definitely have made the game more about that while making the game easier for newcomers, which is very important, which is what I think attributes to the growth of the game, right? They're obviously making it easier for newer players to get into the game, which is good, but they're also keeping the identity of Monster Hunter. And on top of that, can we talk about the new monster lineup? Like, I guess you guys, this is your first Monster Hunter game, but all the new monsters they brought to this game, amazing. And I love that low rank, they made it so every single monster you fight in low rank is a new monster. So if you're a newer player, if you're a newer player, you go through low rank and it's kind of like a tutorial, like it's super easy and you're just kind of going through the motions, right? But at least all of the monsters are new. So you get to at least experience the new monsters and see their environment and stuff. So as someone who is a veteran of the game, that was really cool to see. And I think all the new monsters, like adding in the two different octopuses, amazing. Like I think they did a really good job. I think monster design wise, they always kill it. So yeah, that's my Monster Hunter segment, dude.
Sheesh.
Trash.
I hate this guy. I hate this guy. Yo, man, it's so overwhelming doing all this Diddy tech on the screen, like doing like all this crazy shit, showing me all these different down tilt charts, sliding down tilt charts, and then that shit's Monster Hunter is overwhelming, huh?
That shit's too hard.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, so
go back to my easy game.
Yeah, your easy Super Smash Brothers game.
Yeah, it's too easy.
So do you guys want to talk about CT GamerCon? That was the most stacked tournament that happened this weekend, right?
Speaking of a player that makes things look easy, Zombo makes everything look easy, bro.
I mean,
I'm gonna just
rob
here. Okay, they jumped. I'm gonna up tilt here. Okay, they're dead. Like he just simplifies his opponent. It's crazy. Like their shield is always pressured. He's always catching them with like stray projectiles. He gets every jump. He covers everything. Like he never overextends. Playing at Zomba is very difficult. I don't know. Like I'm obviously not surprised he won the tournament. I usually expect Tri-State to perform really well, if not win tournaments like this. I guess there's like the elephant in the room of like Light not doing very well, but like I'm not here to say Light sucks or anything. He's like the best player in the world type shit. So
well, you gotta tell him he trash so he locked back in, but
I guess he'll be fine. I think he's a little burnt out. He's been going to a lot of stuff. And yeah, I think he won't do as well as he wants, and then he'll go to the next thing, and it kind of keeps repeating. I feel like we've all been there, but there's also like I think one of the more important things. I think it's easier said than done, especially if you're the person going through it. But like not like complicating things and just chalking it up to like it doesn't have to be a big explanation. Like it's like a rough bracket's a rough bracket. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, and his character is volatile.
We've done so many episodes like this where a top player does poorly. Yep, everyone wants to talk about it. And then we're always here to say, like, they're probably going to win the next major. And they do. And blah, blah, blah. And, oh, my God, this player's losing. What are we going to
do? No way.
Like, it just happens every time.
We've seen this movie before.
It's happened with myself, like, on the same podcast. Like, so, like, I'm just not here to talk about that. And there's also, like, nothing really to say. He'll be fine, like always. He's like top 5, top 10 in the world or whatever. Like it's fine. I just think he might be running out of gas a little bit. He might be like a little out of like short on confidence. And I think confidence is probably the most important thing for Paris, like out of anything. If he's confident, then it really shows. I don't know.
And his tweet is justified. Like there is a bunch of shit that
dude,
a lot of
characters. I didn't see anything wrong with this tweet. What was wrong?
I did not see any. Like he's not wrong, and he's it is justified frustration.
I didn't
at the end of the day
to anyone.
No, it's just frustrating that there's like dude, Rob can down tilt up smash Fox at like 80 or 90. Like, it's a true combo. I've seen Rob literally, like, oh, like you're at like down 60. Tilt, smash on down board. Tilt, dash, down tilt, dash, down tilt, dash, down tilt, dash, up smash. Like, across the whole entire fucking stage, and Fox will die. And that's like the only character that Rob can do that to. So, yes, there's a ton of bullshit that a lot of characters have, and it only works on Fox. And I mean, even the thing with Lucas, right? Like the Zare chain into the downer, that is very difficult to do. So not trying to take away anything from like executing that combo. And obviously, like you have to be a very seasoned player, and you have to grind the game a lot to be able to like, oh, hey, I'm going up against Fox. Like I have this one setup specifically versus Fox that I grind for. And like, you have to execute.
It is
right?
hard to get into the fighting Fox like mode.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just the whole thing of like
exclusive to Fox, like almost. So
yeah, and like Fox is auto crouch canceling at 0% at the start of every match, right? Because he's like the fastest faller in the game. I get it.
It's like a weird balance between shit not working and then shit working like too well. Weird.
I will say I always give any amount of credit to a player that can be consistent with these technical characters or like high reaction demanding characters, so like tweak on Diddy Kong, right? Or yeah, and even like with Light, you have to be very on point with your reactions. I mean, there are situations where you, instead of reacting, you can make him coin flips and stuff. But when you're seeing Light play well, which is, you know, pretty often because he's consistent, it's like he's reacting on every single tech chase with up smash, or like most of them, right? And Fox is just a character where if the player is very on point, he's very broken, don't get me wrong. Fox is extremely broken, but once Fox makes a handful of mistakes, you can go from like a top 10 character to holy shit, you're getting edge guarded by fucking mid tiers, like freely. And it's looking like GG, you can never make it back on stage or whatever. It was just like one bad double jump, one bad air dodge, and or just like, oh, you're not closing out stocks because your opponent's good and they didn't let you land Nair up smash for true combo. They just took grabs instead. They dice rolled on the ledge trap. They made it back on, and then now your Nair tech chases. So now they can get hit by Nair, but like if you don't tech chase perfectly with up smash and kill them off the tech chase, like you can't just do damage, you need to kill them. And if that doesn't happen and you don't kill them, now you're dealing with max rage, some mid tier that's really fucking heavy or some bullshit that can hit you with a move and you'll die sub 100% all the time. And I mean, there's even characters that are the overtuned versions of that, like Kazuya and stuff like that too, right? Where it's just like, oh, you have to kill Kazuya before he gets rage drive. But like for Fox, that's a very specific window of like, you have to have rage and you have to hit the Nair at the specific time, and then you can deal with Kazuya with no rage drive. I mean, obviously you have incredible neutral, and if you play really well, the character's very broken, but I can understand it being frustrated, and maybe Paris is just, you know, burnt out and he's just making mistakes here and there. And in Ultimate, it's a very unforgiving game, as we all know, right? So I mean, I think it just like any kind of frustration is justified, and he's not directing it towards a player. All he's doing is just saying, hey man, sometimes it fucking sucks to play Fox. Sometimes it just sucks. You get edgeguard and it just sucks.
His post was very reasonable, and it just sucks when like obviously Light isn't out here being like vulnerable often. And it just sucks when someone is like vulnerable one fucking time. Just once.
What if he's just being honest?
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Being honest and vulnerable one time. They're just frustrated with their job. Like, they're trying their best. Like, things are difficult. They're vulnerable and, like, honest one time publicly. And, like, shit gets weird. And I just... It's, like, one of the worst things to see. And there was just nothing wrong with his post. And I'm not saying people are out here telling him he's wrong. But if people are out here like being weird about it or like making jokes, like obviously that's not a big deal, but it's still like, damn, like
it's annoying.
He can't do it once. You know what? I don't know. At the end of the day, like it's not a big deal either way, but I mean, the funniest part was probably spelling peers wrong. That's about it.
One, honestly, like shout outs to Light as of recently too, just because he's been grinding a lot and he's been trying to get other top players to go to tournaments, because it's like
cool, yeah
like I've been liking seeing Paris just traveling within tri-state, really trying to get all the top players to go to things that are at least East Coast or tri-state that are a little easier for you guys, right? Like obviously West Coast events are few and far between just because it's a lot more committal and stuff like that, but I've been seeing a lot more stacked regionals and things like that going on in the tri-state New England area and just like West Coast or East Coast in general. So I mean, shouts to Paris because he's watching all the success Japan's having. And it's like, all right, shit, we got to kick it into gear, right? So, I mean, I know no matter what, I have a lot of national pride when it comes to Smash. So I always want to see America win, NA win, right? Like, I have a lot of faith in those regions. So, I mean, and I still love watching Japan. Don't get me wrong. I think that's what makes it fun is that it is competitive, right? There's been years where it's been dominated on either side, and that's no fun. It's really fun when it's like, oh, snap, anyone can take it. So, yeah, I mean, that's on the U.S. top players. I mean, shout out to you guys for being more active. And, you know, even though it's the tail, and I understand it's the tail end of the game too, this would be the easy point to check out, right? There are some characters that have questionable strengths. And I mean, yeah, something I don't want to get into this episode, but I think something to think about for the community is if we can't ban certain characters, what rule? Because I know Spargo had a tweet earlier about like legalizing Yoshis and some other stages. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting take. And I do like that. I like that method of thinking, because even when I was thinking about like the ledge grab thing, it's like, okay, you can put a ledge grab limit on Steve specifically, because every character, if they grab the ledge like five or more times, they just can't grab the ledge anymore. But there's a character in the game that bypasses that, right? So I think even making a rule against Steve specifically, being like, hey, we're going to keep this character in check specifically. If Steve drops off the ledge and grabs ledge five times in a row, they lose a stock or they lose the game. Because base game mechanic wise, the characters that can't spawn ground can't do that because they just won't be able to end up grabbing the ledge, right? So you still give Steve as much ledge grabs as he wants, as the other characters get, even though his are better technically because he has intangibility or whatnot from them, right? And he can gain materials. But like at a certain point, if you run to the other side and you're saying like, I just want to fight you and I don't want to fight you off stage where you can spawn stage underneath you, because that sounds like you have an incredible advantage in that scenario for any character. So just being like, hey, I just want to fight you on stage, is that all? Is can that be done, right? And before you get maxed out on materials or whatever. But yeah, like there's implementing those kind of rules, maybe exploring stages. I don't know what stages Steve is good or bad on. I don't compete at this game at top level. I would assume the top level players might know that. So yeah, I think it's an interesting take. I don't want to deep dive into it unless you guys had something to say about it, but like I do think it's something going forward we should think about at the very least.
The stage thing is definitely worth thinking about, and I haven't been thinking about it so often, maybe because we're just so used to playing with the usual options we have, and we either have like Kalos or no Kalos. That's usually the difference, or like what are starters and what are counter picks. So mm-hmm. It's been a while since I considered things that aren't currently available, and it's worth considering for sure. I like the logic. I think I would prefer to play on Yoshi's before playing on Lylat, but I don't know. The Lylat layout is the most different.
Is it based off the material? I would love to pick other players that are, you know, feel really confident about like what stages are good against Steve and hear their explanations. You know what I mean? Just because it's like, is it more about giving Steve like shit materials so like weaker characters can break the blocks easier? Is it about forcing him to mine iron because like iron is valuable, but it takes longer to mine the iron, right?
I think
like
the big thing is if there's more stages, he can't just ban the only couple stages that are worth picking versus Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least you have more options because there's just more stages. Because currently, Steve can usually ban stages against you where you have no true good option, which is rough. Obviously, the best options, it's still fighting Steve, but at the moment, it can usually be pretty difficult because he just gets rid of, like, I don't know, like Smashville or something or town. And then you're just like, okay, now I have to pick a stage. Now I have to pick a stage that I might have to consider banning when I win, which is crazy. But it is currently like that. So,
all right, hear me out. Rainbow Cruise, I'm telling you, Steve would suck on Rainbow Cruise. He would though, right? Because he can't sit there and mine, and he would be forced to move. And
he would
suck, dude. And then so you
there might be something weird, but.
I'm just saying, if Steve gets really out of hand, I absolutely don't do this now. But if Steve gets really out of hand, this is like break in case of emergency option, all right? You make it so Rainbow Cruise is a counter pick only when someone's locked in as Steve and they're not allowed to ban it. So they have to play a game of Rainbow Cruise. They have to. And you can only use it against Steve, so you only need to learn how to play on that stage against Steve. That's it. Well, break in case of emergency. It's probably horrible. And if the game gets to that point, like, it's far from saving, but break in case of emergency option.
But I think reconsidering possible stages is really worth it, especially because it just hasn't been a concept in a while.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that tweet from Spargo. I was like, wow, that's a good way to look at it, because again, we can't, like, at this point, we can't ban the character. I think the community
got that shit from Mewtwo King.
No, okay. Sure.
Yeah. He's just
shouts to Mewtwo King.
Yeah. So random, but not random, but at GamerCon, when I watched Jackal versus Tilde, I think that was the best Jackal's ever played.
Wow.
What?
It was crazy. You didn't see it?
Ever?
As far as I can remember, he was playing good, bro. Jude was playing really good. I think it was like 1 or 2, 3 stocks. Like, he was vibing, bro.
I thought that
It could just be more Tilde was out of gas, because Tilde also had a crazy loser's run.
Yeah, he did tweet that he ran out of steam. I did think that Jude was playing well, especially when I was watching Grands, him versus Zomba. I thought he was playing very well.
It was
well,
a much better set, yeah.
The best he's ever played.
I mean, what's the best he's ever played? Crown? Crown is up there.
Crown
is up there for sure. Yeah, his run at Crown.
Didn't they play in Grands there too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Those two are just always at the finish line.
They're destined for each other.
I thought he was playing good, though. I guess regardless if it was the best ever, I may am trying to push that point across. Tilde had a fantastic run. He beat Light for like to get into top 8 and then made it all the way to 3rd. Bubs, the Lucas player. Like, Lucas is cool, bro.
Yeah.
I'm vibing with Lucas. If I could do that stuff, like right now, I would try it.
It's fucking hard.
He's hard, yeah.
I like Brawl Lucas the most out of all three. But I think Ultimate Lucas is growing on me. But for a long time, I was like, man, Smash 4 Lucas was cooler. But he's ain't pretty no cool way in Ultimate.
Wait, didn't you... In Brawl, didn't you do the Zair for no hitbox? It had no hitbox, right?
Yeah.
Conspiracy.
No.
But there's a reason to do it, right? Kind of, or no?
No.
There's
it was
no
made
reason
up. They said it had less lag, like landing lag. It was made up.
So it was just to look cool?
Yeah.
So that's why you like Brawl Lucas the most?
Me?
Yeah.
No, dude. He had like the teleport jumps and like...
teleport.
They were useless. That jump.
It was cool.
It was hype.
Wait, are you talking about the side B like boost?
They had the crazy momentum with magnet. He was cool, bro.
Oh, okay. The magnet stuff was legit. Yes.
But yeah, good stuff to Bubs.
He was trash.
He
was trash.
He was trash. That's okay.
I hated Smash 4 Lucas the most. I don't have one I love.
I just always liked Lucas hate the most more than Ness. So I like to see Lucas.
I hate both those characters. no matter the game.
Ness has always been a little more boring to me. I know he's interesting in Ultimate, but I still just don't care as much.
Dude, he has some crazy shit in Ultimate.
He can be crazy, but I've always liked Lucas more. It's like more of a vibe to me. I guess that wraps up CT GamerCon. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
KawaiiCon.
Yeah, I wish I watched more of it, but I was at KawaiiCon.
I do like... I don't know. I feel like... Over time, I've been watching Jackal's Wolf develop a lot more.
Yeah, we don't know. Even more than usual.
I like it a lot more than I used to. I like his forward air usage a lot. It's really interesting. It's like he's using it to like hit them, like instead of like using up air, like going under them and using up air, he's like,
oh,
like at this angle right here, and he just like forward airs them, and I'm like. Oh, it does hit up there, you're I guess. I mean,
to,
it makes
you're more likely to keep your advantage.
Yeah. I mean,
using it as an anti-air?
Yeah. I really like, I don't know.
More generous hitbox, like an Ike forward air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's grown on me a lot.
Yeah. About 3 weeks to a month ago, Jude actually hit me up and we watched some of his sets and some of, what do you call that? Ouch. Yeah. Ouch's set. And for just Wolf. It was like a hour or two of just like VOD reviewing. I don't do it too much, but whenever I have friends that ask me to do that, I'll do that, right? And it was fun. I mean, I haven't VOD reviewed Wolf.
I could tell you were having fun with it because it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. And I like Ouch and Jude play very different. So it was, we're kind of looking at some of the routes and decision making that Ouch makes in terms of like on hit. And I think it's like general consensus that Ouch is better on hit than Jude. But I think it's because of, not necessarily because the combo is like quote unquote better. I think Ouch is really good at setting up like reset scenarios on platforms and stuff like that. Like knowing when to go in a specific tech chase scenarios, especially when you can put them on the platform and react to everything and get something like a falling up air that can lead into like a back air, who knows, right? Like you can, there's so many different things you can set up. So yeah, it was cool just going over the meta and like how Wolf should be playing neutral and, you know, the offense behind it all. It's all fun stuff because I did my first main in Ultimate was Wolf. So really fun to still see where the character's meta is going comparatively throughout the whole, you know, history of the game's lifespan. It's always cool to see a character change with the meta and all that stuff. Obviously, all these new characters come out and it's always fun to watch the OG characters try to stay in there and continue the fight, you know?
I forget what I was going to say. Damn. But yeah, it was cool. I was kind of around while you were doing the VOD review and all that. We even did some with my stuff, which was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Versus Steve. Trying to crack the Steve code, man.
It ain't working. So,
yeah, we got to bring in stages, dude. Send Yoshi's story.
So this is actually a very funny thing. I haven't said this publicly, but this is my dream goal for Smash now.
Okay.
New dream goal. Okay.
I need Hungry Clicker art.
Yes. Okay. He's been dodging you, bro. He's been dodging you.
Like, so shout outs to Akakikasu for winning Kawaii-Con, beating T twice, T getting second, losing only to him. And I saw that art and I was just like, damn, like it's so good and I need it. And I was just thinking, I won the same tournament last year.
I was about to say
nothing.
and there's Japanese players there last year too. It was
the same amount. The same amount.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm just thinking,
Tomofi and Gakt.
It's like, is this a coincidence? Do they not like me? Do they not like Diddy Kong? I've thought of everything. And I just have to keep winning until like something is proven.
Like, but you did get featured once on Hungry Clicker, right? Hungry Clicker drew Sephiroth for you once, right?
He only drew it when I lost.
Yeah, against Sakura. Remember the picture of like Sephiroth? Yeah. Like,
wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Really? So
but there wasn't Diddy Kong.
It wasn't Diddy Kong, no.
So maybe
your Sephiroth's cool enough to get drawn though.
But I didn't even win.
It is a funny picture though, because it's like Steve picking up Sephiroth like after getting stabbed.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. It's like he definitely amazing. Knows Steve is broken. Like, because the way that picture looks is just like clearly.
So yeah, I'm just jealous of anyone who's got it. Like the one with Light from Summit after the skit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So good.
It's amazing.
Dang. I think didn't they say that was like his first time beating T in like some obscene amount of time? Like,
oh, okay.
The set count is very in favor.
That tournament was crazy, weird, though. But they didn't agree to playing in like Japanese.
Yes, that is one of the first things. So this is a question I had for you.
Advantage for Akakikasu?
Well, so Akakikasu,
like, objectively, it is. We'll get that out of the way.
Yes, Akakikasu has been grinding English menus ever since
Genesis, like
Genesis X, two Genesis ago. Yes, yeah. So he's been prepared for multiple years at this point, and usually T gets the W on Akakikasu in Japan.
Yeah,
but the only difference is now they're playing on an English setup. Like, imagine playing someone from your region, right? You're playing your local hero player, all right? And then all of a sudden, the language is different and they can read it, but you can't. All I gotta say is T did get hit by some snoozes, you know what I'm saying? Like some point blank snoozes. I was like, god damn.
I could tell he was struggling. You wanna know how you know you're struggling at like reading the menu? Is if your main neutral tool is dash shield. because it, it can be good against Hero, but it can also be the absolute worst thing. It just depends on what he has in the menu. So if T is doing dash shield a lot, I'm concerned.
And T did get his shield broken multiple times.
Your shield will get popped.
Flame slash with like a psych up, GG, shake my hand. And then there was a time where like T was like 20% or lower, gets shield broken. Akagakizu just starts charging up the F smash and gets the 1 out of 8 crit. I was like, eight, no. And bro, that crit like deleted his stock. Like it was not even fucking close. Like I do not know of a character that has that much base knockback. I don't think is there any other character that can like kill Kazuya at like 0%? Like, does Bowser fully charge forward smash even kill Kazuya at 0% at the edge? No way, right?
Method with Bowser, you have to get the fire damage without the like the
knockback. Oh shit,
without actually getting them out of the shield break, and then maybe, but you just, I don't know if you get a charge like enough of a charge,
a full charge, It's so just crazy how different the highest knockback, base knockback move is from like a crit smash attack from Hero. And then like, what's the next best thing? Oh my goodness. That character's variants are insane.
He is crazy. I actually have a friend, shouts to Sage from Hawaii. He plays Diddy Kong and he had to play Akakakisu and he won the first game and then lost the next three, I think. And we were chatting about the matchup before and after. So shouts to him, because I think we learned a lot, just both of us, for the Diddy Kong vs. Hero. So kind of some indirect help from that event. And I think that about does it. Shouts to Luis for winning that event. Sorry we didn't go into huge detail on that. I saw him play like Base Mage in like a close game 5.
Ouch went like 2-2 at that event.
Ouch was there?
Yeah, it went like 2-2.
Wow. Yeah, there's just so many tournaments that I was mostly keeping up with my friends at GamerCon, like Paris, Jackal, Zomba, Tilde, like stuff like that. So I there's just a lot. There's a lot of weekends like this where it's just like hella regional stuff.
Shout I mean, Lima got to play against the Japanese players too. That was really fun to watch. Lima, Mr. E, Big Stu did pretty well. He was able to take a set over Mr. E, which is like a big, very big deal for a rank one Hawaii player to take a global win. So that's
because Eric's been doing like better than ever. So that's a good win for Hawaii. And that's the first thing I asked Charles about. I was like, how was that experience? Because I'm sure everyone was pretty excited.
And I think, I mean, even for me, just looking at Hawaii's history, obviously Void was the player that kind of sacrificed everything and went to another region and was able to find success. But watching Stu get global ranked W's and still living in Hawaii, to me, is like a good sign just being from Hawaii. I want success for the region, but I also don't want players to feel like they have to leave their home to find that success, which is why, you know, me and people like Shasta, Bobby, Dark Musician, who TOs, and we try to set up these events like Kauai Con where out of state talent can come and the players can play against them. And you know what I mean? This is so you don't have to feel like your only option is to travel out to get that type of experience. We try to bring it in as much as possible. Obviously, like, it does cost a lot of money and a lot of coordination, but we're able to pull it together, you know, at least once a year for Kauai Con, and hopefully more in the future with maybe some UH events and stuff like that. I know they've been very active with helping Smash out and even helping like the UH Smash team travel out to events like Port Priority and Genesis, man. Like, dude, when I see that, I'm really happy, because it's a lot of hard work from the, you know, just the Smash free scene from before, and like people like Bobby and myself continuing to help the Smash scene and everyone. I mean, there's so much more of the people that help the Hawaii Smash scene in general, but it's really cool to see that, because when I was like in my early 20s or like in my college days, I definitely didn't have opportunities like that, you know? So it's really cool to see that Hawaii players are getting more opportunity in general and they're taking advantage of it. So it's dope to see.
Yeah. I guess that about does it for us. I do have a, sorry to cut it short. I do have a busy day ahead of me.
Got some lessons. Wait. What if someone wants a lesson with you because they want your insight as someone who has been a top player for, you know, 6 years in Ultimate and even longer in Smash? Where would you go?
I do have a Medify. It's just medify.gg/@tweak. I've been doing more lately. I actually have two lessons later today. Also, by the time you guys finish watching or listening to this, we'll also have more bonus content up on the Patreon and on the YouTube if you want to become a YouTube member. Thanks for all the support on those two things. Yeah, lessons have been good. It's always been one of my like main things to do on the side. I enjoy it. I try my best to help anyone out. Doesn't matter what character you play, by the way. I feel pretty confident in helping anyone out in anything. But if you do play a character I'm interested in, then obviously that helps a little bit as well. Also to specify, I don't know if everyone knows this, but VOD review, it doesn't have to be games or any. It could be VOD review. It could be games. It could be anything like that. Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh,
it's time.
Yeah, time to do a lesson. so, yeah, thanks, Charles, for helping me plug it. I suck at plugging it otherwise without reminders.
Sology.
Yeah, thanks for the support on the show. And once again, by the time you see this, there'll be other stuff to look at if you want. And have a good one.